What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Den podcast. Hey, today, subbing in for man Shawnee J, my tag team partner on my other show, Detroit Lions on the Prowl, Mr. Jim Bordeaux.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Die Hard Den podcast this week, and we're going to bring you a great show, man. We're going to bring you a great show. Please follow us on Spotify and wherever you consume the content here. And make sure you give us a like on the YouTube channel, and a subscription would be very much appreciated.
Hey, you know how we do it. Hit us up on the Facebook page. We appreciate it. Shawnee J keeps you very well informed over on our Facebook page. Like we always do at this time, it is time to tell me something good. Now, Jim, I'm going to tell you something good this week.
Tell me.
We had some big name players return to practice. Justin Coleman is due to come off the IR. That's going to be a big help going against the Falcons this week if we can get him back. And then a name that's been out there. That guy has been on the team for a couple of years and hasn't really played. Austin Bryant has returned to practice. So
it's like citing Bigfoot or something. News.
Yeah, I mean, that's some good news. I mean,
absolutely. I mean,
this guy has not been in a uniform like for a long time.
Yeah, he outplayed Deshaun Hand in his college years. I mean, he was very, very good. He's a very good, capable pass rusher. I don't know what they're going to get out of him. He hasn't played, so I'm not sure when he's going to start. But, man, that he just seems like he could fit right in right now.
Yes, it does. Hey, that is telling me something good for this week. Now it's time to go on the ball. So let's talk about the offense. We're going to look at the Lions' performance versus the Jaguars. First up, we're going to look at Matthew Stafford. 19 for 31, 223 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Rating of 80 for the game. What'd you think about Stafford on Sunday?
I think it was a good thing for us because we didn't need him to win. I think that we established the run. We did a very good job there. I thought he had some drop passes. I thought he wasn't extremely accurate in this game like he hasn't been all year. His numbers are way down. I think 223 yards for Matthew Stafford and one touchdown is really not that great. And his 80 rating kind of says it all.
Yeah. I think that this is indicative of the season he's having. Some accurate issues. He's over throwing. He's under throwing. So he's got to get back on track, but the drops aren't helping as well. So I saw Kenny Galladay drop a pass, is right in his hand. So
There was a few of those this game. There's been a few of those this year, but and it's on Stafford, some of them, because he's throwing them to the wrong shoulder. I see him, you know, not leading players correctly. They have to come back for the ball, or they have to make really tough catches to catch the ball in the first place. So he's not putting his players in a position to succeed.
It's tough. It's tough. Next up, we go to the ground game. DeAndre Swift, 14 carries, 116 yards, two touchdowns, 8.3 yards per carry. He was getting it done in the run game. The name of this episode is called "The Lions Took Swift Action Against the Jaguars," and that's fitting. DeAndre Swift had a hell of a game. What do you think about my man, the rookie out of Georgia?
Well, they finally used him at running back instead of the Theo Riddick role, which I was advocating before. He has good vision, good speed. I think he actually could have broke that for a touchdown if he would have just kept going and not stopped. You know, or he could have got a lot more yards, but he's a rookie. I thought he played very well. 116 yards, two touchdowns. That has not been done by a rookie since Barry Sanders in 1989.
Okay. Hey, that was a great performance by my man. Big shout out to DeAndre Swift. Next up, it is time to look at the air game and the wide receiver core. And you know, it's got to be Kenny Galladay. four catches, 105 yards, a 26.3 yards per reception average. That is ridiculous. And he said, you know you're going to have to pay for that, right?
Show me the money.
So what do you think about man KG on Sunday?
The offense totally changes when he's in. And he extends the field. I think even helps the running game because I think they double team him a little bit. Mm-hmm. You got Marvin Jones, you got him, you got Amendola out there, mm-hmm. you know, and Cephus every once in a while, which we haven't had a Cephus sighting in a little while. But anyway, yeah, Kenny Galladay is the man.
He was a healthy scratch on Sunday.
Well, I think that's because he was replacing Kenny Galladay. Is what I think they were using him for, the big body wide receiver. Four catches for 105 yards. That dude is balling out. The one catch that he had, he went and got the ball. It wasn't that Stafford put it there. He went and got it.
That was a free play. That was on the offside. Yep. It was Stafford that said, go get it. And he went up there.
And he went and got it. He's something special. He really is.
He is. He is. All right. So let's look at the total offense for the game. 233 in the passing game, 180 on the ground, 403. That was a good total mm-hmm. offense, balanced. You know, it was a good mix of pass and run. Great game call by Bevel. So I like the performance by the offense.
I do too. I like that 180 yards rushing instead of 18. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. We're used to not very many. But look at the passing yards. I don't mind Stafford not having a lot of passing yards if we could run the ball. It's very important to run. When we run good, we win. Bottom line.
That's definitely. And big shout out to the offensive line. Didn't give up a sack all game. Played well as a unit, even though players had to be rotated out due to the heat, some dehydration. Hank Fraley had the guys ready to go.
Yeah, he's amazing.
What do you think
about
that O-line?
Well, it was amazing because they were also rated by PFF as the number one run blocking offensive line in the entire league. So, I mean, they're doing something right. And you're right, Fraley's doing something right. He has to be doing something right for this offensive line to be gelling, even though they're putting in Nelson, who I had never heard of before he went in.
And he's a position change. He's not naturally an offensive lineman. I think he was a defensive lineman.
I have no idea. I don't know where he came from. That's okay with me though. He played good. Offensive line dominated them.
That was a really good performance by the offensive line. Thank you for watching this episode of the Die Hard Dan podcast. If you're checking us out on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. If you're checking us out on Facebook, hit the follow button, subscribe, share it with your friends so you get more content from us right here at the Die Hard Dan podcast. And follow us on the Facebook page as well. If you're listening to us on one of the podcast platforms, thank you for the download. We really appreciate your patronage. So next up, it is time to hold on here. Defend the Den. We're talking about the defense. So first up, we got the rookie, Jeff Okudah. Now, he gave up 57 yards in the passing game, which is about a quarter of the passing yards, but he made it up. 8 total tackles, 7 solo. What do you think about his performance on day?
Mixed bag reaction for me. He only gave up 57 mm-hmm. yards, but some receivers dropped passes when they threw that mm-hmm. were wide open. So I don't know if his coverage was that good. His tackles were great. He's a sure tackler. I almost think he's going to get moved to safety at some point. He's a big kid that can really tackle and mm-hmm. could play in the box as far as I'm concerned.
I would think so as well. He had a fair game. Like I said on our other show, he was eating and starving on Sunday.
On the same day.
Yep. Next up, we have a quiet, good game by a linebacker, Jamie Collins. 8 total tackles, 4 solo, and he had a pass breakup. So Jamie Collins had a quietly good game. You didn't hear his name a lot, but he played hard and he made some good plays.
Yeah, he did. A tackle for loss, four solo tackles, pass defense. I mean, what more could you ask the guy? I mean, he's in coverage. The dude's all over the place. So, yeah, I mean, I thought he had a good game. And Jamie Collins is one of those guys that if he wants to play, he's a great player. If he doesn't want to play,
yeah,
you don't really care that much. And
yeah,
it shows.
Nothing from, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. All right. Last player we're going to spotlight, Daron Harmon had that one pick. Hop pointed the ball. It was kind of floating up there like a duck in the wind. That it was real windy in that stadium on Sunday. So Mitch, you just kind of hung that pass up there, and Harmon went up there and got it. He didn't have a lot of he didn't have any tackles that game, but he had the big pick. Nice turnover.
He's what I call a ball hawk. I don't think he's great defensively. I don't think he's great in coverage, honestly. You know, but he's just in the right place at the right time. And so you've got to have those players. I mean, you know, if I don't think a Warrior, does he have an interception this year?
I don't think so. No.
Right.
It's him and James.
But he's had some pass defenses.
Yeah, he does. We're going to get to Omadi in a minute. Now let's look at the total defense on the game. 44 rushing yards, which is phenomenal. Because,
wow.
You know, Jacob Robinson, I'm sorry, was eating like nobody's business, and out of nowhere, undrafted free agent, and they held him to 29 yards. The 231 passing yards really came because they had to pass because they were down so much. So they had to throw the ball just to balance out the offense. 275 yards total. It's a good day by our defense. And to close it out, good pressure on Minshew all day. Stuff the run, you know, strip sack by Flowers. Now, here's your guy, Amani Arroyo, balled out in coverage. My man was shutting it down. Breaking up some passes. He was doing his thing. He had the performance that really set the tone for the night in the secondary.
I know. He was awesome. And the thing about Awari, I think he's the number one right now.
Yeah.
Even if Trufant comes back, I still think he's the number one. He's very good in coverage. He does a lot of pass breakups. He's right there with his receiver. I like that. I think the defense had a really good game. Most of their yards was in garbage time. Their touchdown was in garbage time. We're playing a prevent, and they marched down the field on it. No big deal because we were just trying to run out clock anyway.
Yeah.
So I saw that defense is dominating, actually.
It was. All right. That's it for Defending the Den. Thank you for checking out the show. Hey, hit the subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. Hit the follow button if you're watching on Facebook. Share it. Hit the notification bell on YouTube so you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Den podcast. Please follow our Facebook page. Shawnee J does an amazing job over there of keeping you informed on all Detroit Lions news. You know, big shout out to Shawnee J. He couldn't make it tonight. Dude had to work. But big up to my tag team partner from Detroit Lions on the Prowl for tagging in for me. I really appreciate it, brother. Hey,
no worries.
But you know what time it is. It is time to play our favorite game.
This is my favorite game.
Hell yeah or hell no. Nah. So we got us some good ones today. So let's hop to it. Kenny Galladay earned his payday on Sunday. Hell yeah or hell no?
Hell yeah. He earned his payday, but will he get it? That's another question.
That's another question. I say hell yeah, he earned it as well. Next up, the Lions will be at 500 after the next three games.
Over that means they're going 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking this Kool-Aid stuff, and I don't know. It hasn't been agreeing with me lately. I'm going to go, hell no. Nah, I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to win two games and lose one. I think they're going to go one and two.
They're going one and two. So yep. Who did they lose to?
Oh, they lose this week to the Falcons. And what is that third game? Because I know they play the Colts and
the Vikings.
I think they lose to the Colts too. I like the Colts running game.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to say, hell yeah, they're going to be at 500. Okay. I'm drinking that Kool-Aid right now.
I see. All right.
Next up, Jared Davis will be traded to the Steelers. Hell yeah or hell no.
Boy, you got some tough ones today. Jared Davis will be traded to the Steelers. Hell yeah. I believe he will be traded to the Steelers. I think that they're going to try to get something out of him. And I know this regime might be a lame duck thing, but I think Bob Quinn's going to play it just like he's going to be the GM forever and ever. I think he just takes it day by day. I don't think that's going to play into it. And the Steelers really want him. So I think we could get some value there. I believe Davis is a free agent after this year.
Yes.
So I think that this is a deal that Quinn is right up his alley.
Right. Next up, the Lions run game can finish in the top 10 this season. Hell yeah or hell no?
Hell yeah. This offensive line, being a makeshift offensive line for almost the entire year, has found its way. And I think if we get all of our guys back and we have Ragnow getting healthy and you got Joe Dahl, and then you can move Jonah Jackson back over to that guard spot. I think we have something special in that offensive line. And then DeAndre Swift, who's just showed up. You got Adrian Peterson. I believe they can. Hell yeah.
I believe so as well. That is a hell yeah for me as well. Next up, Bob Quinn will try to buy his job back at the trade deadline, meaning he goes on a shopping spree. Hell yeah or hell no?
Such a tough one because it's not in his nature and too much. But I'm going to say hell yeah. And here's the reason why. I think that they both know that their jobs are in danger. And this is not unprecedented. He went out and got snacks for a fifth round pick. I believe he's going to try to make some shrewd deals. I think he's going to be a buyer and not a seller at the deadline. I really believe that. I think that this is one and done for them. If they don't make the playoffs, they're out. And I do believe that does weigh heavy on his mind just a little bit. And he might selfishly try to sacrifice a little bit of the future to bring something in now to save his job.
Okay. Hey, all right. With the current season as it is right now, you have a lot of teams making some moves. You got Vikings dumping people off. The Lions have a good chance of making that seventh playoff spot. Hell yeah or hell nah?
I'm going to say hell nah. And here's the reason, because you put that word good in there. I don't think they have a good chance. I think they have a chance.
Okay.
But I don't think they have a good chance. The reason why I'm saying that is because I believe that the NFC East is awful. Let's just put it that way. So there is a reason why we could. Minnesota's as trash as I thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. The Bears are pretenders. I totally believe that. I don't believe in the Bears. And the Packers just got smacked. So maybe they're coming back down to earth. But the thing is, if the Lions can continue with this offensive line, the running, Stafford gets a little bit better, and we stay healthy, that is the key to making the playoffs. They stay healthy. I'm just saying, I don't think they have a good chance. I think they have a chance.
Gotcha. All right. That is hell yeah or hell no for this week. Thank you for listening in to us right here at the Die Hard DM podcast on YouTube, on Facebook. Hit the like button, hit the share button, hit the notification bell, subscribe to the YouTube channel. So you know when you're getting fresh content from us right here at the Die Hard Dan podcast. And if you're listening on one of the podcast platforms, we appreciate your download. So next up, we have our Lions versus Falcons game preview. So
all right.
Coming into the game, the Falcons are favored by 2.5. Do you think that will change before the game on Sunday?
Maybe. It depends on who's in and who's out. I think the injury report is going to be a big factor in that going up or down. I think that where they're favored by 2.5 because of what they did last week. I really do. They get crushed Minnesota. And I think that the Lions are beating Jacksonville is not a momentous feat, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, I feel you on that one, my man. All right, so looking at the Lions injury report, I mean, we had some big names on there, but they kind of just trickled away. Desmond Trufant is the only really big name that did not practice. He was totally out. Yeah, Frank Ragnall and Trey Flowers and a couple other guys missed some time. Well, limited in practice today.
But that's good that they're limited and not out.
They look like they're going to be pretty healthy coming into the game on Sunday. What do you think about the guys coming back from injury?
I'm not sure Coleman makes it because he's been out for so long. I don't know if there's going to be a conditioning issue there. I don't see I see Ragnall going. I think I see Flowers starting as well. Yeah. I think both of those two will be in. I think Joe Dahl is in. I think Trufant is out. I think Coleman is out. Yeah. That would be my guess.
Yeah. All right. Looking at some of the big names for the Falcons, Dante Fowler, Alex Mack, but it was not injury related. You had, Tack McKinley. Missed practice. That's their big defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and some other key members of their secondary limited on Thursday's practice. I believe the receivers will go. The defensive linemen, we can take advantage of because if they're out on a Thursday, it's going to be hard to get them in the game on Sunday. It's just, you know, out and out. They've been out all week, so they are dealing with some significant injuries for the Dante Fowler and Tack McKinley.
They don't scare me defensively as bad as they do offensively. They have a heck of an offense. I think Alex Mack goes. I think Julio Jones goes and Ridley goes as well. So I think this is going to be a tough test for the new defense that we had out on the field last week. Let's hope they don't bring in that old defense from previous weeks.
Got you. Well, let's take a look at the Falcons. The Falcons give up more yards than they gain, which is a lot on both sides of the ball. 419 yards per game on offense, but they give up 442. That's a lot of yards, my man. They give
up a lot of yards.
Defense. So that may be the key to the Lions' victory if they can pull it off on Sunday. Now let's look over at the Lions. Okay, Lions seem to have found their run game and finally have a potent passing attack when they use it. And this is a game where they can use it because most of the yards that the Falcons give up are through the air. So the Lions, these events have decided to show up, but will they maintain it in Atlanta? So those are some big questions going into this week's game.
This game for me is who doesn't want it most.
Yeah.
Atlanta blows big leads. The Lions blow big leads. I just want to see who gets out to the big lead first and blows it. Maybe we should spot them 20 points or something.
The play that stands out to me for the Falcons has to be the onside kick at Dallas, where they just kind of watch the ball spin on the ground like a top. No one's going to pick it up. It has to travel 10 yards. You don't have to let it travel 10 yards on the coverage team, but on the offense, they have to let it travel 10 yards. But that really killed me right there for the Falcons.
There's another big key to this game for me, and it's the coaching staff. When they let go of Quinn, like we should.
Mm-hmm.
When they let go of those guys, they balled out. They balled out against Minnesota. So I would watch out for that this week.
Yeah, Raheem Morris got those guys rolling last week. So All right, so here's the big question. Closing out the game preview. Who wins and what would the score be?
Oh, this is such a rough one for me. I think it's a high-scoring game. I've got boy, I don't want to even say that. I've got the Falcons 35-28.
35-28. Well, I have the Lions winning this one, and it's close one. It's 35-30. Mm. And that closes out our game preview for this week. Hey, we appreciate you. It is time for us to go ahead and close out the show. All right. So one thing we want to do definitely is, before we do that, let's take a look at some other things that are going on with the Lions. What do you think? We talked about this a little bit earlier. What do you think about the Lions being sellers? There's a couple of deals out there that potentially can be made, like the Quentin Williams deal coming over from the Jets. They said they want a second round for him. Would you make that deal?
I would, in a heartbeat.
Do you think Quinn will make a second round pick
that's doing anything for us right now? Well, you know, not many of them. I mean, DeAndre Swift. Kerryon Johnson's relegated to, you know, third down back duties, I guess.
Yeah. So he's just blocking. All right. Another one is that Jared Davis deal. Trading him to the Steelers, getting some draft cachet. And there was a weird deal out there today. Three-team deal, kind of a couple of moves that brought Antonio Brown and J.J. Watt to the
J.J. Watt. But it's a trade that's it's a straight-up trade for Kenny Galladay over to Houston for J.J. Watt. And then we sign Antonio Brown. So I don't think it's a three-team deal. I think it was a one-team deal, but then the Lions would sign Antonio Brown to replace Galladay, and then they get J.J. Watt. Would I do it? Yes, I would do it.
You would do it?
I would.
To get J.J. Watt? Yeah. Even though he's getting up there a little bit, he still got something left in the tank.
He's in a bad situation right now. Yeah. I think he's disgusted with the situation.
Yeah.
He could come to an equally worse situation if he came here. So. Yeah.
Well, the only thing that he would be playing across from Trey Flowers, so that could be an advantage.
If we play a 4-3.
Yeah,
if some version of that. Yeah. I mean, that would be monstrous, because then Trey Flowers got to be his true position. He does more eating up the run than he does sacking folks. I mean, he gets pressure, but I mean, J.J. Watt would be the guy that's getting the pressure for us. And that makes our secondary better, makes the linebackers better. You know, Kenny Galladay, he makes the offense better. There's no question about it, but Antonio Brown could too. And then you just go draft a wide receiver next year.
Definitely. Okay. Hey, that does it for today's show. I appreciate my man, Jim Bordeaux, tagging in for my man, Shiny J today. Tell the people that how they can find you on social media, my man.
Oh, it's just so easy. My name's Jim Bordeaux, and that's how you find me on Facebook. So that's pretty easy. The YouTube channel is Lions, Detroit Lions on the Prowl. So you can look that up on YouTube. If you just look up Lions on the Prowl, you'll see us there. My new co-host is pretty good too, you know. I know that guy. I've seen him somewhere before.
Yeah.
But no, I really do appreciate everybody that's listening to the Die Hard Den podcast tonight. Everybody, please subscribe. Please, if you're on Spotify or one of those platforms, follow the show and listen to it so you can get sent every new one that comes out. We've got really good content coming out here. And Shiny J does a great job as a co-host. I'm just filling in for the day to kind of help out my partner here. So yeah, I hope everything goes better and you guys get that fresh content from Die Hard Den podcast.
Hey, we appreciate. Hey, it's a somber day for my man Shiny J here at the Die Hard Den, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. If you are fans of the show, you know that Shiny J's favorite Lion got released today. Mr. Bo Benswazel got released from the practice squad. So if you see Shawnee J, if you see him on social media, hit him up, check him out, check on him, see how he's doing with that news today. And you can follow, it's a sad day for him. So you can find the show on social media. You can find me. I'm at CurtisSteele14 on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow the show at DieHardDNPodC1 on Twitter itself. You can check out our Instagram page. It is at Die_Hard_Den_podcast. And definitely, you can check out our YouTube channel. It is DieHardDNPodcast. So, any parting shots, my man, Jim, before we get out of here?
Just appreciate being here. And even though it's a terrible season, we have so many people that rock with us and continue to support, even though this is a train wreck most of the time. So I really appreciate each and every one of you hanging in there with us, sharing your positivity with us, because we really need it. All of us do as Lions fans. But I just appreciate being on the Die Hard Den podcast. I appreciate you, Kurt, for asking me to come on, or I think I asked you actually, but hey, whatever.
That's all good. Here, brother. And thank you for tagging in for my man Shawnee J. Hey, I want you to do one thing for me. Actually two things. It's election season, so go out and cast your vote. Do me a favor. I served 26 years in the Army protecting your right to vote. So go out and vote. I don't care who you vote for. Just go out and vote. Hey, and one thing, whatever you do in life, you got to boss up, ball out, and be the best version of you that you can be. For my man Jim, this is Kurt Steele of the Die Hard Den podcast, and we are out.